Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thank you for joining me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. I'm glad to be here with you, and in the next 2 hours, we're going to go from the blue carpet to the big stage, from Milwaukee murals into New York writers' rooms. We're going to kick things off live in absolutely mere seconds with WTMJ's Elizabeth Linton, and she has just returned from the blue carpet at Christian Yelich's Home Plate charity event with all the celebrity buzz and behind-the-scenes details. So we will talk with Elizabeth in just moments. But I want to tell you also that Milwaukee has officially been named number one city for creatives in America. Who gave us that honor and why they did, I will share that with you. Also, with it being Memorial Day weekend, a powerful conversation with Milwaukee documentary filmmaker Pam Percy about Finding Lauren. It's the emotional true story of a World War II pilot finally being brought home decades later after being shot down over Italy, and her particular family connection to Lauren, the lieutenant that it's all about, and how you can see this documentary anytime you want this Memorial Day weekend at 7:05, the big Bob Uecker mural that's being created downtown. The man who is creating it will be in the studio with us. You will get to meet renowned mural artist Mauricio Ramirez talking about creating this Uecke mural and how it feels to be commemorating him with public art. And you could be a winner each hour on What's on Tap. Get ready for concert ticket giveaways. Roger Daltrey at the Riverside in September. Gladys Knight at the Pabst Theater in August. So we're going to have some fun. And also, you know, tonight is the very last show of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. A conversation with Wisconsin native Gabe Gronley. He is officially wrapping up his job writing for The Late Show tonight with that last show. So you'll get to know Gabe. So that is all what's in store. I'm happy about this. I'm glad you're here with me. Thanks for tuning in. And let's go live right now in the WTMJ studio from Christian Yelich's Home Plate Benefit event at Landmark Credit Union Live. WTMJ's Elizabeth Linton. And how was it?
It was fantastic, Sandy. Just a really cool event. So the first half of this event tonight, it goes until midnight tonight. So it is still currently going on.
And are tickets still available for people who want to come see the music?
Very few. So the VIP experience was completely sold out. And I saw some pretty famous faces there. I mean, from everybody from David Gruber of the law offices, you know, to the fire chief of Milwaukee, Aaron Lipsky was there. I saw so many people that I recognized there. It was crazy.
That's good news for anyone at Landmark Credit Union Live, that Chief Lipsky is
Chief
on
Lipsky
site
is ready to go.
Any other issues? Yes, all
yes.
will be well.
So the last I talked to them, they had sold 2,000 for the concert, somewhere around there.
Great.
So the pretty good turnout for that concert. But then, yeah, the VIP completely sold out. So it was really, really well done event. Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about this. And I feel like when you share what you've seen along with what I know about this event, because it really is a charity event benefiting
yes.
six different community organizations, and it's going to be full of music and full of food and flavor, that there are going to be some people who are like, I really want to go. So if you can hustle down and get to Landmark Credit Union Live, there might be tickets available for you to get in on the fun.
Yes. And so there are six charities that this night's just not for fun. It does benefit the Brewers Community Fund, Visit Milwaukee, Heartland Farm Sanctuary, Milwaukee Public Library Foundation, Sojourner Family Peace Center, and Cooking for Kids are those six charities that were picked. I got to ask Christian Yelich about them. Actually.
Tell me more about your conversation with. So this means you got to speak with.
I did.
Number
in fact,
22.
Get to interview him on the red carpet, which was an incredible experience. That will be on the WTMJ Instagram sometime tomorrow. But I did get to talk to him about putting this event together and how he feels to be there. And he was just so excited. I believe it's his fourth annual.
It
so
is.
Just very excited to be there. Very good vibes. I asked him what his karaoke song was, because I like to pick a fun question at the end.
Sure.
And he said the last time he did karaoke, it was Taylor Swift. So,
well, and that won you over. What, did he tell you the title?
He did not tell me the title, but there was a signed Taylor Swift guitar available in the silent auction. So yeah, that's the other thing. There's this ginormous silent auction with literally like the most celebrity like fanfare, any athlete that you can think of that is at all notable, had a signed item there. Taylor Swift's signed guitar next to Travis Kelce's signed helmet. I mean, yes.
That's A-list.
Very serious. Chevy Chase signed from one of his movies. Like, it was like a pennant. Yeah, there was so much
to
bid
really
on there.
That's really unique.
Incredible, yeah.
I feel like a lot of our sports events, you know, think about the circles that Christian Yelich runs in. He could probably get sports memorabilia, but this is really big celebrity memorabilia and really unique. Who are some of the other major leaguers that you saw there?
I mean, well, he's not a major leaguer, but Charlie Behrens is there. He's doing a set tonight. He's helping host. He's a major leaguer to us here in Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
And I think in Wisconsin as a whole.
And I feel like when you talk about those circles that Christian Yelich runs in, he's returning as host and giving it that special local flair as well.
Yes, I definitely think that he is doing that. And he's just a great guy to talk to. He's actually a little quieter than I think you would expect him to be when you talk to him in person. But he's very humble, very nice. He's a real sweetie. And then some other Brewers players, that the most notable ones off the top of my head, I saw Jackson Chourio.
Oh.
I saw Andrew Vaughn on the red carpet with his girl. And
his lady?
Yeah, his lady. And yeah, just a lot of famous faces there.
Was there a Sal sighting?
There was not a Sal sighting.
He was there last year. Maybe Sal.
He might have been hanging towards the back. I don't know. It was chaotic. I had to stay near that carpet to get Yelich. So
yeah, exactly.
He could have been there.
Murph was there last year, but it is fun to see that his teammates truly come out to play and have fun, especially riding high off of a sweep of the Cubs. They might be in an even more celebratory mood than usual, but to come out and support, it's just great. And then the music, the Nicotine Dolls are friends of Christian Yelich, who performed last year. They're back. The Fray, Isaac Slade, is performing.
I met him.
How was Isaac?
He's very nice. He waved at me. He was wearing a good hat. He was very sweet. I don't know. It was a brief interaction, but he was very, very friendly. I waved at him. I said, hi, I'm a fan. And he said, nice to meet you. And he kept on his way. I also met Jake Owen. I just said hi. They were all on the carpet for a brief moment for pictures. They didn't do any interviews, but they did lots of pictures. And so it was cool to be that close to someone so famous and chat with them. And
that's what's exciting about downtown Milwaukee and having this kind of event. How often can you get this close to some of your favorite players? And like you said, some of the other known people. And speaking of people who are known in our community that are creative, like a Charlie Behrens, Chef Adam Pollack is the person curating and wrangling
the flavor
experience and getting chefs in our community to participate. What can you tell me about the flavors and smells that you experienced?
Yes. So for journalistic integrity, because I knew I was coming on the show right after I was there, I did sample a couple of the items that were there. Just to, you know, make sure that I could speak from experience, genuinely some of like maybe the best food I have ever had.
What did you taste?
I tasted, there was like a ham and Gruyere slider, and it was like bread that had Gruyere on the inside and like really thinly sliced like charcuterie on top. And then I tried Adam Pollack's, actually. I made a point to try what he was serving. He was serving like an Italian beef slider, I think, from Egg and Flour. Sandy, so good.
Gourmet
finger
food. I gave
him a fist bump after.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I took a big bite and I gave him a fist bump. I was like, because it was fantastic. Wait, it was such good food.
He takes great pride in being part of this, again, as an organization, not just showcasing talents with his cooking and flair and Food Network bravado, but he, I think, really gets into the fact that this is a community event and that when you're talking about there are some tickets left, to know that the Yelich family literally chooses who's involved from the performers to the charities because they do want to make a positive difference in the city that he calls home now, playing with the Brewers.
It's a fantastic movement, and he's lovely. I met his mother very briefly. She's lovely. And yeah, I really could feel just a level of quality and care in this event. I mean, I really think that he knows Milwaukee quite well and picked the very best that we have to offer and presented that for everybody. So I have no idea how much the VIP tickets were, but I'm definitely positive that they got the bang for their buck because the food was incredible. The music should be incredible. It's going to be a fantastic night. And it was really well done. It was fun.
For the people who roll like this regularly and do the VIP experiences, I have to think this is special and truly unique.
Yes, it's a very Milwaukee event.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So if you aren't able to get there tonight, let's cross our fingers that there's a fifth annual for next year.
And if you're interested in donating to any of the charities that I mentioned that are involved in this event, Kristen Yelich actually posted the code. So there's a donate code on his Instagram
Aww.
That you can reach out to, and you can still participate in the charitable aspect of this event, which is cool. So
WTMJ's Elizabeth Linton and getting the sweet reporting gig today, getting the red carpet. Was it red carpet or blue carpet?
It was a red carpet.
Okay, last year was a blue carpet. That's why I keep saying blue carpet.
Blue carpet, like in spirit, but yeah, it was a red carpet.
Brewer's blue, but I just love it. So thank you for the fun coverage, and we'll look forward to your reports on WTMJ social media and on the website as well.
Yes, keep an eye out.
Watch for more coverage on WTMJ, our social media accounts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and Facebook tonight and tomorrow. Thanks, Elizabeth. We're number one. What list is Milwaukee at the top of now? Find out what you can be proud of next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org, bringing you the most exciting news from Milwaukee today with Elizabeth Lintonen reporting fresh from the Kristen Yelich Home Plate charity event, full of music, full of food, and full of good deeds, and sounds like a really rockin' silent auction with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce items. Nicely done. Big league all the way when Yelly is involved. There is yet to be a Sal Frelick sighting, as far as I know, but last year he was there, and also Murph was there partying, so hopefully more and more Brewers players will attend and really make a magical evening there at Landmark Credit Union Live tonight. And I am thrilled to report Milwaukee made it number one on a brand new list. It's a really good list for somebody like me who hosts a show about culture and creativity. This report says Milwaukee is number one for creative people and creative spaces. You've heard of Squarespace. It's a funny enough, a website that helps you build a website. So they compared a bunch of U.S. cities, and Squarespace, they went through and looked at performance venues, art galleries, culinary innovation, and interesting funding for artists. And then they scored all these different American cities based on population. So, you know, think of any city you can think of in the United States. We were compared to them, and Milwaukee came out number one, beating out Boston, Massachusetts. They're number two. Oakland, California, number three. Number four, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And in all the conversations that you've heard us here on What's on Tap, you know, Minnesota has one of the highest arts funding per capita in their state. And while Wisconsin is 48th, 49th. In the entire country for state-funded arts and creativity. So it's interesting to hear that we're number one. Minneapolis would be number four. Denver, Colorado, number five in that ranking so far. And I think it's great that performance venues really was one of the high-scoring parts of the criteria for Milwaukee. And we were just talking about Landmark Credit Union Live, which was controversial when it got built. It's a fresh, clean, it's a very unique and vibrant, slick, cool space. If you haven't been in there yet, it's worth going to the Vinyl Bar, which is a bar that truly has a bunch of vinyl records and kind of an atrium space. So, but to have these different venues ranging from Landmark Credit Union Live, brand spanking new, to a historical indie site like Shank Hall and all of our beloved favorite small and large performance venues, the range of it is one of the reasons that Milwaukee scored so high, whether it's a concert venue or a comedy club. They considered museums and galleries part of performance venues. And you think about gallery night, whether it's in the Third Ward or Bayview, it really is cool that also bookstores were included in kind of performance spaces and creative spaces. And also, I love this. Bars that host live music or open mics were also counted as performance venues. So roll back to Song Sung Blue. You know, like think about how much Elizabeth Lintonen just said that her fun question for Kristen Yelich on the red carpet was, what's your go-to karaoke song? So people love to embrace live music and live entertainment. And Milwaukee certainly has an ecosystem of cool corner bars, places where you can relax, and places that are specially designed for karaoke. So that helped us. We came in for population 97 venues for every 100,000 residents. Interesting math there. If you're going to do math, that's fun. But I love that also Milwaukee scored well for culinary innovation, because think about how often every year we talk about James Beard nominees and the kind of independent restaurant scene that we have here, especially after Top Chef and Dan Jacobs nearly won that season. And with Top Chef being focused here in Wisconsin, it is great that we are getting that attention. And the score for culinary innovation for Milwaukee, 72 out of 100, which is a good score. And also, I like this as well, especially as we're getting into the warmer weather and farmers markets and festivals. More than 30 recurring craft fairs also helped boost our ranking. And also that we don't just have one creative neighborhood, that we have different pockets of creativity, not just one cool spot to go to that's well known, like the Mural District in Miami comes to mind for me and that kind of thing. So I'm very, very pleased to report that we are number one creative city in the country based on the new report by Squarespace. Tell your friends. Puff your chest out. And honestly, on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, if 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, if you're proud of somebody in our creative scene, maybe it's an artist or a musician or a chef or a filmmaker or a writer, if there's somebody you think should get a shout out for helping make Milwaukee this number one creative space, I'd love to know about it. I'd love to share that info. Take some pride. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Who's a Milwaukee creative that more people should know about? Or southeastern Wisconsin. We could spread that out. Memorial Day weekend is coming, and I have a movie suggestion for you coming up. A documentary about a World War II veteran called Finding Lauren by Milwaukee filmmaker Pam Percy. So stay with me for this creative way to pay tribute to veterans this weekend. Next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Memorial Day weekend ahead. There are so many parades all around Wisconsin on Monday, if that's one of the ways that you like to pay tribute. I'm also pleased to share with you, right after the WTMJ news, a meaningful conversation with Milwaukee documentary filmmaker Pam Percy. She created a documentary called Finding Lauren, and it's a documentary about the emotional true story of a World War II pilot finally being brought home decades later, and her family connection. So how you can see this documentary anytime you want this Memorial Day weekend and what it's all about, that is coming up. But first, we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center for the latest updates. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, and I know some people are already traveling. Some people are looking forward to a three-day weekend. And as ever, we always want to remember that Memorial Day weekend, while it's time off, it is certainly got to spend some time honoring the service people who have given us our freedom. And one way you can honor the service people who've died over the decades for our freedom is to watch documentaries, get to know them, get to know their stories. And just last month, I discovered one that I can recommend, created lovingly by one of our local filmmakers, Milwaukee creative Pam Percy. And Pam Percy created a fascinating documentary about the life and service of World War II veteran Lieutenant Lauren Hintz. And Lauren Hintz was the father of Pam's husband, Martin. And Lieutenant Lauren Hintz was a very dedicated World War II P-47 Thunderbolt pilot. And what I did learn in this documentary is just how massive those planes were. Absolutely huge and heavy. And Lauren Hintz was logging as many missions as he could to get home to his young family. And he was shot down April 1945. I think it was a week before the war ended. And his body and his plane were not recovered at that time. And this documentary is the story of Lauren and his family's 70-year odyssey to find him, to lay him to rest. So Finding Lauren is free to watch on YouTube if you do a search. L-O-R-E-N is how Lauren is spelled. And this is filmmaker Pam Percy explaining why she made Finding Lauren.
I started filmmaking just 6 years ago.
Really?
Yes. I actually got into it in a rather sad way. My husband passed away, Martin Hintz, and he had wanted to make a film about his father, Lauren Hintz, who died at the very end of World War II as a P-47 pilot. So he wanted to make this film, and then after he passed away, there was really nobody else to make it. So I had never made a film before, and I'm very good at taking chances. So I just stepped right in and started writing it. And luckily, there was a wealth of information. Lauren Hintz was a poet, a writer. He died at 27, but until then, there was and so many family photos. So I was able to read diaries and create the beginning of his life until he passed away at 27 years old.
What a tribute to him to be able to finish this documentary.
Right, right.
And to your husband.
Yeah, it was for him.
And a great way to preserve important history, especially World War II history.
Right, exactly. And the second part of the film, the first part is his life, and the second part is the excavation. So 75 years after the plane crashed, they kind of knew where the plane went down, but they really didn't. So the family started working with archaeologists and Italians to pinpoint where the plane went down.
It's like a mystery as well.
I know. And so once they finally determined, they excavated the site and not only found his plane, but they found his dog tags intact and his bones and other personal items. So it was quite moving. So they found Lauren.
Wow.
75 years later.
What a gift you've given to your family.
Yes, yes, there.
And again, to the world, to preserve this history and understand the humanity of this as well, and to have that mystery out there for so many years.
Yes.
And that you provided that.
Right. And, you know, the sadness and the horror of war. It was such a wasted life. He was so talented. And to pass away at 27 was just tragic. And Marty, my husband, never met him. And that was another tragedy. So this was a way to sort of bring his life to reality.
What a story to tell.
It was. And I made it during COVID. So there was an extra element of emotions, as you can imagine.
That is Pam Percy. She is the filmmaker who created Finding Lauren, the documentary. Finding L-O-R-E-N is how you search for it on YouTube, where you can watch it for free. I've seen it. It's an international journey. It's done artistically. You really do get to experience Lauren Hintz's personality, because he was a poet and he kept all of his journaling during his service time. So think about all of those moments that are really preserved and give you a look into that life, what it was like to fly those planes, what it was like to live that life, and what it was like to ache to be home with your family. So Lauren Hintz, a very charismatic and creative man. I can recommend it from an historical perspective, certainly on Memorial Day weekend, and from a family perspective, also from a worldwide perspective. You meet the Italians from the village where Lauren Hintz's crash happened, and their gratitude for the Americans who fought for them and how this experience shaped their lives. It really is a well thought out and well done documentary. And an extra layer for me is wild. I'm a credit watcher. I'm a playbill reader and a credit watcher. And I thought I recognized music in the film. And sure enough, this music that you hear is one of the songs by a deep indie band out of Louisville, Kentucky called The Rachels. And for me, The Rachels has Jason Noble, a dear friend of mine who I went to high school with, who passed away from a terrible form of cancer in 2012. But he was a really collaborative creative. So I'd like to think that he would like his music used in this way. You get three Rachel songs in this documentary. That's just an added layer for me that put emotion on it. So free on YouTube. The documentary is called Finding Lauren, L-O-R-E-N, Pam Percy, in collaboration with Claudia Luz, whose name you may recognize from her documentary work with Wisconsin historian John Goerda on PBS. So Finding Lauren, something I can recommend watching on Memorial Day weekend, Finding L-O-R-E-N on YouTube. And next, helping you stretch your entertainment dollars, a concert announcement for classic rock fans, and your chance to win a free pair of tickets. Who is it? That's a subtle hint. Find out next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
That is some iconic rock right there. You know how lots of people say Beatles or Stones? I always feel like The Who is underrated and overlooked. And if you feel that way too, Roger Daltrey, lead vocalist, co-founder of the British invasion rock band The Who, is going to be in Milwaukee, Riverside Theater, September 15th, a fresh concert announcement last week. And he's got that voice. He's one of those performers who has that presence when they come on stage. And think about, he can still pull off singing My Generation, but also a song like that, Baba O'Reilly. Roger Daltrey himself has released 10 solo albums, and it just is very cool anytime you can see a legend on stage, and especially one with such an unmistakable voice. So this is great. It's called Roger Daltrey, A Great Night Out is the official name of this concert, and he will be on stage at the Riverside Theater September 15th, and he's got a band with him, a semi-acoustic band, so it's going to be a more intimate evening, but still all those songs from The Who that you love, plus stories about making those songs and what he remembers about the production process. And I love that it also says exciting stories, set list surprises. I'm one of those people who I love a good deep cut, you know, and that's also what makes that live experience magical. But think about all the songs that The Who brought you. Pinball Wizard, Won't Get Fooled Again, lots of good ones. And also, everybody thinks of CSI, don't you? Now when you hear some of The Who music, like Who Are You? And he was even in CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, Roger Daltrey was, and he's voiced his own character on The Simpsons before, but he's one of those people that is part of pop culture. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Roger Daltrey, a great night out. Instead of an intimate evening, which is what a lot of these shows wind up getting called. So Roger Daltrey, A Great Night Out, September 15th at the Riverside Theater. Tickets are on sale now because you are listening to What's on Tap right now. Be caller 15 on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Caller 15 at 855-616-1620. Love to treat you to a pair of tickets to see Roger Daltrey, A Great Night Out, on September 15th at the Riverside. Caller 15, 855-616-1620. Give a call. If you're caller 15, you will be the winner. So good luck. And the song you need to hear is the rocker that Roger Daltrey sings most in concert. Definitely on that set list in September. Turn it up next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Big congratulations to Sally in Hartford. She just won tickets to see Roger Daltrey, A Great Night Out, September 15th at the Riverside Theater. Spending time with a man known for that powerful voice and that dynamic stage presence. He's going to be singing a lot of Who hits. And think about how influential The Who has been. Over 100 million records sold worldwide. If you want to see this rock legend at the Riverside, go to the website PabstTheaterGroup.com. Get your Roger Daltrey tickets so you can be right there in the crowd having a great night along with Roger Daltrey. This is the song he performs most in concert. I wonder if you can guess what it is. I expect to hear it on September 15th. It's a cathartic one to sing along to. Turn up Who Are You by The Who. It's the song you need to hear on What's on Tap.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
And you have seen the mural of Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo on Wisconsin Avenue, arms outstretched. Another Milwaukee legend of the sports world is getting a mural right now, Bob Uecker. And the creator of this massive Bob Uecker mural is in the studio with me right now, artist Mauricio Ramirez. How are you, Mauricio?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Did you just come right over from the mural?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I spend all day, as soon as the sun's out, I'm out there. And, you know, if the sun goes down, then, you know, that's pretty much to call it a day. I wish I could paint 24 hours, but, you know, we have our limitations.
But this is a fascinating process. So right there at Mason and Jackson, so about a block east of the Pfister, that entrance there, Mason Street Grill, maybe a block or so west of Cathedral Square Park.
Yep.
It's the Wintrust building right there, and it's north facing.
It's the best location. I mean, there's so much cool architecture surrounding me, so it's like painting in front of, you know, just the history of Milwaukee and just adding to that type of, you know, cultural landscape. It's amazing. It's the biggest honor.
How does this compare to creating the Giannis Antetokounmpo mural?
It compares drastically because it's three times larger, and it's just the logistics are just so much crazier this time around because it's so tall. It's about 102 feet tall, and you know, that alone is just like crazy because, you know, how do you create something that scale? You know, and it's very challenging and stuff, but you know, I'm glad that they're able to trust me with it.
Is this the largest mural you've ever created?
I wouldn't say it's the largest per square foot, but it's definitely the most challenging with a lot of moving parts.
Most artists like that. They like that challenge.
Yeah, sometimes they do, but you know, the stakes are really high with this one. You know, you're painting one of the most prominent figures in Milwaukee and culture and American pop culture. And, you know, it's just, you really got to be on point with everything that you do and just be super sharp.
Mauricio, describe what the finished Bob Uecker mural will look like.
Yeah, the finished Bob Uecker mural will pretty much be like this really great, respectful mural of, you know, a great portrait, you know, touching on the architecture at the ballpark and just kind of paying respects to, you know, his history of, you know, baseball, you know, is Mr. Baseball. So, you know, you kind of lead with that. And ultimately, you know, it's just great realism artwork.
What I can see so far, because it's been fun to go by every single day and see the progress on this massive side of the building, and then often seeing you up there in the cherry picker rolling on the paint. It's fascinating. We'll get into the process, but it looks like the outline, a big white outline of Bob Uecker on the mic with the stadium behind him. That's what we can see so far. Is that what I'm getting out of it? What else?
Yeah, that's exactly. You hit it on the head right there. You know, it's an image of him, you know, with the microphone, you know, and kind of in this famous, like, image of him at his desk on the right side. And so it's just kind of, you know, really taking that snapshot and just kind of making it forever.
Now, who commissioned you to create this massive public art?
Yeah, it was kind of a group of three, you know, the Wintrust Financial Center Group and Milwaukee Downtown and Visit Milwaukee all kind of, you know, teamed up and really wanted to get this done. And, you know, I pretty much got selected to, you know, carry out the project, you know.
What direction were you given? Were you given themes or words or images or colors?
Yeah. I mean, they obviously wanted his face, but, you know, there's so many different types of styles. But so what I did, I just kind of came up with a couple visual candidates and kind of presented it to them and, you know, took some notes from that and then just kind of responded to that. And, you know, between, you know, 2 to 3 rounds, we had our final, you know, visual, you know, artwork.
That's, I thought it was interesting to go back and forth. I wondered if that was, if they just let the creator create and go, okay, here we go. Or if there was some back and forth.
Yeah, sometimes it does happen and it works on the first try. But, you know, with, I think it's sometimes it's better when you get feedback and you just really dig into, you know, the nuts and bolts of what everything is going to be on the wall and stuff. And it's always great to get people's perspectives. And, you know, I think that's the biggest strength when you have different stakeholders coming in together and teaming up on the creativity part.
Bob Uecker is such an emotional figure for all of us here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. So I have to think that there are a lot of people who are passionate about getting this artwork right with the right essence.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, responsibility as me as an artist is to carry that out and carry it respectfully and just give it my all and not just, you know, run through it. No, this has got to be with the most care and, you know, really with the most weight, you know, on my shoulders to really paint this.
Who's the biggest Bob Uecker fan in your life?
Everybody, you know, everybody has their own story of Bob Uecker, and it's just really cool to hear these different perspectives on how they viewed him and stuff. But ultimately, you know, they all cherished him and loved him and just really was proud of that, you know, he was here in Milwaukee.
Continuing this creative conversation with the artist making the Bob Uecker mural downtown happen with his own hands, rolling that paint on. We're going to find out about the fascinating process of using a 10-story tall building as your canvas. More with Mauricio Ramirez next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org.
Just a bit outside.
You know that euchre line from Major League, and instead of just a bit outside, there's an artwork coming together that is completely outside, a Bob Euchre mural that you have probably heard about, and I am thrilled to have as my in-studio guest the artist that is creating this Bob Euchre mural, Mauricio Ramirez. And Mauricio, this is on the side of the Wind Trust building, downtown Mason and Jackson, 10 stories high. What's the exact parameters of this mural that will show Bob Euchre on the mic at the ballpark?
Yeah, so the mural measures out 80 feet wide, and the very top of the colored band is about 100 feet. So it's about 80 feet wide, 100 feet tall. Massive.
Did you know it was going to be this big when you applied, when you got the commission, when these discussions started?
You know, I tried to create the mural more around 50 to 60 feet, but because the building was so large, so tall, that it just looked so small and so awkward. So we needed to really blow it up and ultimately utilize that, you know, that tall canvas and just utilize the best way to just design the mural, design any artwork that fits, you know, that building, but more or less the portrait work.
So you mentioned earlier that this is a big challenge for you. What's the most challenging part of creating a 100 foot by 80 foot mural?
Yeah, the hardest thing is just, honestly, it's just the heights, the sheer like fear of heights and being up there 100 feet up in the air and then trying to perform and create your best work and, you know, really just trusting your gut and just being the sharpest that you could ever be, because any mistake could be, you know, it could be pretty dangerous. And, you know, the wind's blowing up there and you're moving, you know, this $250,000 machine that takes you up there. And, you know, that's a whole, it's just a lot of moving things. So, I mean, besides that, just the heights, the higher you go, the harder it is to just work on a building.
I'll bet. If you go to WTMJ.com, our YouTube page, or if you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, text the word watch to 855-616-1620. I've been stopping by every day, taking progress report photos. So we'll show you a photo on the WTMJ YouTube live stream, because you will see, I call it a cherry picker. What's the actual name for the machine that lifts you all the way up to paint?
I think it's just the technical term is called an working aerial platform. And I guess people call them boom lifts, you know, scissor lifts, whatever it is. You know, I just call it a little boom lift. That's it. I don't know why, but that's just what they call it in the industry.
Gotcha. Okay. So text the word watch to 855-616-1620, Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line. I'll call it the boom lift because that's fun. But it is, you call it a platform, but that's not very wide. It's a very narrow rectangle with a mesh floor on it that you are elevating on, and you're controlling this boom lift all by yourself.
Correct.
Do you have a buddy system? Is it really just you in the parking lot every day?
Pretty much now I've gotten more comfortable, but for the first week it was definitely nerve-wracking. I've definitely had to have a ground guy just kind of watch me and take photos every time I moved it, just to make sure to see where it was at on the wall. Shout out to Austin. Austin was my ground guy. And he was just taking photos from across the street to make sure that the boom lift was pitched right and making sure that I felt safe. But after that first week, I feel really good about everything. And I just feel, I feel like I've bonded with the lift and I'm now connected with it.
I feel like maybe you should name it. So truly, this is fascinating from a logistics standpoint. It's one thing to be the artist and draw this and have the essence of Bob Euchre come to life through your artistry. But now talk about the logistics. What is your process to, is it a grid system? Like, you've got paper. I've seen your rolls of paper. I saw painted on the very bottom, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way letter M. So what is this system that you have to be able to pretty quickly over a couple of weeks paint a 100 foot mural of Bob Euchre?
Yeah. So, you know, I just use the grid system and the letters and numbers that you're speaking of. It just kind of helps me navigate the wall. So I'll have a row of 1 through 30 starting from the top going all the way to the bottom. And then from left to right, it'll be, you know, the letters A through M. And that just kind of helps me navigate, take it, you know, piece by piece, step by step, and just focus on a certain area that I could, you know, control. And I just kind of multiply that and just keep on going. And ultimately, with good faith, that it's all going to work out in the end and stuff. So The pieces of paper, they just kind of help me stencil on a few things that I just kind of need and the outline. And from that outline, I'll just kind of start to blend in the colors. And, you know, I'll use that with using spray paint that's, you know, imported from, you know, Europe and Germany and Spain and stuff. But it's a very like specific type of spray paint that's specific for mural making.
Interesting. I would assume because it's hardy and more weather resistant.
That, and it comes in way more colors too. You know, you have like 10 shades of yellow, you know, and it just, for a mural like this, you kind of want all those different shades, especially the flesh tones and all the browns and peaches and cream colors to really just make that portrait pop.
Now, I saw you a couple days ago. I visited you. We did an Instagram reel and you were tearing up duct tape into little strips so you could then tape these quadrants of paper onto the brick wall to paint?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, these papers have little holes in them. So you kind of spray the holes with spray paint and then you take off the paper and leaves your mark. So it's just kind of like taking it tile by tile using the paper. So ultimately the mural's printed out by scale using these tiles and stuff. And I have a graphic designer that I work with here in Milwaukee named Armand Gonzalez, and he kind of helps me you know, figure that out. You know, I'll create the artwork and then he'll blow it up to size and stuff. So it's a little bit of, you know, doing the project with your friends, you know, Austin, Armand, you know, LeBrant, and all these people just kind of, you know, really trusting, because like, who do you trust with a big project? So you trust like, you know, people that you know, really.
So you're working with, is it Armand? So is he creating that through software instead of, I have in my head that you would do a big projection somewhere. Do you have like the world's hugest warehouse and do a projection, or is this literally tile by
tile? Yeah, tile by tile, 6 feet by 3 feet. And we just send it to the printers and they print it out. But Armand specializes in Illustrator and Photoshop, and he's able to kind of help me, you know, blow that up into the file that the printer needs and stuff. So, you know, I'm more the artistic, you know, guy to, you know, create the ideas, and then he just helps me polish them and get it ready for large format and stuff. So
it takes a village.
Yeah.
Mauricio Ramirez, the artist who is designing and now painting the Big Bob Euchre mural soon to be unveiled. We'll find out more about what it's like to paint outside and what the timeline is for this Euchre mural next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Bob Euchre. Get up. Get up, get out of here, gone. Artist Mauricio Ramirez is in the studio with me. You've been getting up, first of all, early and way up high to paint this brand new big Bob Euchre mural in downtown Milwaukee. I've driven by almost every day since it was announced last Thursday to see what we can see. And it's so fascinating to see you in progress up on the boom lift with a big old roller brush making this mural come to life little by little, seeing the shapes of Bob Euchre, seeing the microphone, seeing the ridges of the roof of the stadium. It's very exciting. What has some of the reaction been so far to seeing you outside painting in the wind and the weather? Are birds a problem?
The birds are definitely a problem. Watch out. They're always around trying to attack. But, you know, the reaction's been great. I've seen everybody get their phones out, right? And that's always a great sign. Everyone just kind of snapping photos of the progress. And hopefully I could just bring some like wonder and awe of like breaking up their day, you know, just seeing something being created.
That's great. Tell me more about the birds, because we hear them. Don't take French fries up there. Are they truly a pest? Do they come dive bombing?
They don't come dive bombing, but you know, they're always like dropping, like, you know, like, and like, it's just been it could be a mess. It could get messy. To be honest, because you're right on the ledge and they like to hang out on the ledge. So that's like another thing I didn't even think about. But yeah, you just find out all these new things with every new mural and new site and stuff. But
it's good luck in some countries, Mauricio, to have that added organic material to your mural. What have been some, other than birds, any other unexpected challenges or a true lesson that you've learned that you'll take into your next mural?
You know, just really trusting my gut and like just being safe. Ultimately, at the end of the day, because the wind, it gets pretty gusty up there when you're up there, and it'll humble you for sure. And then just kind of, you know, something like that. But, you know, I'm about to get into that most difficult part of the mural, which is the portraiture work. So I'm just really hyper focused on making sure that I get all the details right.
And would you share with everyone, I asked you, when's your next vacation? Because this is going to be a big celebration once this is finished. And you had a really meaningful answer.
This is kind of like a semi vacation. You know, it's almost like an artist in residency because, you know, I wake up every day before the sun gets up and I get ready and I'm just super excited to, you know, get to paint all day. You know, it's a really like blessing and I'm just really feel honored to just do that and have that be my job. And, you know, I always give thanks and stuff, but you know, honestly, it's just painting all day, sleeping at night. And it's just, you know, the same routine, but it's like a really great routine. It's like the best routine, you know, and for me to just do that, I can't wait to wake up the next morning to get up and be nice and fresh to just start doing this art project. You know, it's awesome. It's amazing.
You have a passion for bringing this Bob Uecker mural to life, 100 feet tall, 80 feet wide on the side of the Wind Trust building. One last question for you. What is the timeline? When do you expect, let's say all the weather is great and all conditions are favorable, when do you expect to have the mural finished?
Yeah, I would say the early June, you know, somewhere around June 4th to June 5th. I'd say hopefully, you know, I could get everything done in that time period, but you never know, you know, weather, whatever. It might even come a little bit earlier because I'm going to be finding out a lot of new things when I'm painting this. Never painted anything this large at such like a realism type of style. So I'm excited to get into it.
And will you be painting this weekend or taking the holiday weekend off?
Oh, I'm definitely painting this weekend. You know, I'm here to do a job. So every day is just like, I can't wait to get in. I can't imagine taking a day off the wall when I have the boom lift right there and all the paint ready. It's like, let's go.
Keep an eye on him. Mauricio Ramirez, artist creating the Bob Uecker mural. See him at the corner of Jackson and Mason all this weekend. Hopefully with the great weather.
Yep. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Keep creating and we'll keep you updated here on What's on Tap. I look forward to our next visit.
All right.
And I heard through the grapevine you can win free concert tickets after this WTMJ newscast. Stay with me after we check into the WTMJ Breaking News Center with the latest updates. Here's Jessica Gatzo.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Jamming. Man, that sounds good. I heard it through the grapevine that Gladys Knight is coming back to Milwaukee. August 20th, Gladys Knight at the Pabst Theater. It was a concert announced last week, and I think she is just another one of those bucket list performers to see when you realize just how much music that she has brought to life, including Heard It Through the Grapevine there. I was getting my jam on. Well, another reason to watch the WTMJ YouTube live stream every now and then. Digging into the music, but man, this is a classic.
He's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia.
She's with the Pips on this one. Woo woo! Yeah. Oh, there's gonna be some singing along in this show. Known as the Empress of Soul, Gladys Knight recorded music from the 60s, 70s, into the 80s as well. She had a hit with Love Overboard. I might play a little bit of that. And she was also part of Midnight Train to Georgia, number one hit. That's what friends are for. Remember that quartet, Elton John? She was with, Dionne Warwick. And now I'm going to forget the fourth person. Was it Stevie Wonder? But man, that was a number one hit in the 80s. That's what friends are for. This was Love Overboard. So just some good music. And she's a real American music icon and all these decades of music. And she is bringing that unmistakable voice and all that good music from R&B and pop and gospel. 7-time Grammy Award winner, over 38 albums, and a great live performer. Classy, you know? And just bringing all that. It was Stevie Wonder. Dionne Warwick, Stevie Wonder, and Elton John. That's what friends are for. And she's got a Hollywood Walk of Fame star. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Pips. I don't know if the Pips are included in this Gladys Knight performance on August 20th at the Pabst, but even if they aren't, you can sing along and be backup. And if you're a fan of reality TV, she was in the first season of The Masked Singer. She was revealed as The Bee. And she also was in 30 Rock. She had a cameo as herself that was an episode built all around Midnight Train to Georgia. But just a real, still relevant performer with, because it's bigger than nostalgia. She really is that kind of bridge from Motown soul to modern R&B and has influenced a lot of generations of singers and is a national arts honoree. So if you would like to be in the presence of the elegant and talented Gladys Knight on August 20th at the Pabst Theater, I would be delighted to treat you to a pair of tickets. Use that WTMJ Siding Unlimited talk and text line, 855-616-1620. And you can see this 2022 Kennedy Center honoree for lifetime achievement in American culture in person and sing along to all that music. 855-616-1620. Caller 20, since it will be August 20th at the Pabst Theater. 855-616-1620. Caller 20. Good luck on getting your Gladys Knight tickets.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
He's leaving. Leaving. On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
That sound of Gladys Knight's voice, the Empress of Soul, her nickname. And congratulations to William of Mequon, who just won a pair of tickets to see Gladys Knight when she's back in Milwaukee August 20th. For a special show at the Pabst Theater. I love the description says, the great ones endure. And Gladys Knight has long been one of the greatest. I agree. What a beautiful voice. Great singer, brings that class and elegance in so many songs that you will recognize to sing along to, including That's What Friends Are For, Heard It Through the Grapevine, and so many more. If you missed out on your chance to win tickets just now, you can get your tickets very easily. PabstTheaterGroup.com is where you can get your Gladys Knight tickets for August 20th at the Pabst Theater, a summer show to look forward to. And tonight is an historic night in television history. The late night landscape changing with the cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And tonight will be the last episode on CBS, then being replaced by a comedy show produced and hosted by Byron Allen called Comics Unleashed, which I find amusing because it's a pretty mild show, considering how opinionated Stephen Colbert's satire has been for years, especially this past year since his cancellation was announced that his contract would not be renewed. Colbert was much more unleashed in his presentation, but you may enjoy learning that a comedy writer from Wisconsin has been working with Stephen Colbert for years. Gabe Gronley from Madison. He's been part of Stephen Colbert's world for more than a decade, first on The Colbert Report and then on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And I got a chance to talk with him, and I asked him how long he has been with The Late Show.
I've been since the beginning, and I actually worked on The Colbert Report and Comedy Central, too. So I was I started off there, kind of just the lowest rung entry-level job, and then ended up being a writer for the last couple years of that show, and then have been a writer for the years since.
And Gabe Gronley's comedy path, it started right here in Wisconsin, not in a famous club, but with his friends.
My friends and I started a local cable access show when we were in high school, which we used to kind of learn how to write and act and direct and produce and all of that stuff. And then, yeah, a bunch of us moved out to New York and we're pursuing that. And yeah, this was always kind of the path I really wanted to be on.
And I would call that successful. Yeah, I mean, think about how many awards that the Late Show with Stephen Colbert has won. And I think just getting to be in that New York vibe and getting to do your craft like that. So how gritty or glamorous is the Late Show comedy writing job? Well, this is my question to Gabe Gronley about that when we got the chance to chat.
What is a typical work day like? I think a lot of us kind of have the fantasy of a bunch of fun people throwing post-it notes at each other, you know, whatever those brainstorming
sure.
things are, you know, everybody cracking each other up, trying to, you know, but I know it has to be more work than that. But what is a typical day like?
I mean, I work with some really, really funny, talented people, but yeah, it's interesting because you get into a work day and you're also, you know, you're working. So you find like, instead of cracking up, sometimes just like, that's really funny, that'll work. But yeah, I think, you know, for most of the writing stuff, I kind of work on like sketches, field stuff, and when we have guests come in. So I'm usually working a little bit ahead on things. But for most of the staff, they kind of come in at like 9 a.m. and have already, you know, digested that day's news and are supposed to arrive with some joke pitches. And then they go, they have kind of like a meeting at 9, then another pitch meeting after that where they pitch things to Stephen Colbert and other people. And then we would usually work in pairs to write scripts and spend a couple hours on that. Then scripts get kind of like compiled and looked at and rewritten, and then we have a rehearsal around 3:30, and then things get rewritten after that. And then the show tapes around 5:30 every day. And yeah, by then you've written and rewritten so much that while it is really, really fun and an absolute dream job, it isn't like always just sitting around a table cracking each other up.
That is a fast pace to keep up with all that creativity. So Gabe Gronley from Madison, working with The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and working with Stephen Colbert on The Colbert Report. So he's known him for a while. So what is Stephen Colbert really like as a boss?
He's very much what you see. He's an incredibly nice, incredibly smart guy. He has an incredible memory, which is also, I think, one of the things that really helps with him in performing. But he's wonderful. He's great. You know, you kind of couldn't ask for a better boss.
And then you got to think, you know, with all the writers, there is some friendly competition in the room. You know, for example, like Saturday Night Live, you always hear just how much all of those cast members are trying to write sketches so that way they can be in the show. And so I wanted to find out kind of what that comparison is in the late night comedy show world.
There has to be a little bit of friendly competition, like who can make Stephen Colbert laugh more.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're all trying to I think if we're talking about a certain news story or something, everyone's trying to come up with the best version of the joke to make that night's show and to make the audience laugh the most. So yeah, you end up kind of trying to outdo each other sometimes, but it also was like a pretty supportive environment overall.
When I asked Gabe if there was one bit he was especially proud of, because think about hundreds and hundreds of shows and just even hearing the audience laugh at one of your jokes, like what's one that landed that he enjoyed? So this is that part of this conversation.
Is there a bit that you've done on The Colbert Show that you are particularly proud of? You're like, okay, if anybody remembers me for anything, this is what I want them to remember.
Well, one thing I really enjoyed, for better or worse, if they remember it, was we did like a parody of, have you heard of these Untuck It shirts? We did a parody of that where I ended up wearing a shirt that buttons like a onesie. And was walking down the streets of New York kind of wearing, just pantsless, wearing a shirt that kind of snaps in the crotch. So the family was very proud. But it turned out really nicely, so I was happy to be part of that.
Making the Gronleys in Madison proud. He is the talented comedy writer and Madison native, Gabe Gronley, and we got to speak during the writer's strike in 2023. That was John Mercure laughing along, and those were the highlights of that chat about his experience working on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, which airs its final episode tonight on CBS. And when Gabe Gronley updates me on his next creative project, I will let you know right here on What's on Tap. And stay with me now, because more updates next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me for this episode of What's on Tap. I really enjoyed it. I certainly hope you did as well. If you just joined in, you're like, oh man, what did I miss? Oh, you can always catch up on the podcast. But I'm happy to share with you that fresh news today that Milwaukee was named number one city for creatives by Squarespace, the website that helps you make websites. But they did a deep study of all cities in the United States, looking at a lot of different categories like art galleries and performance venues and culinary innovation, which, you know, we have good food around here, and creative spaces. And Milwaukee, number one, beating out Boston, Oakland, Minneapolis, Denver, and those bigger cities like L.A., Chicago, and New York. So that's some good news that you can be proud of and share. Also, very delighted to remind you that this Memorial Day weekend, there is a documentary by Milwaukee filmmaker Pam Percy called Finding Lauren, and that's L-O-R-E-N, about Lauren Hintz, a World War II pilot who was shot down over Italy, and the 70-year journey that Lauren Hintz's family took to find the plane crash and find Lauren Hintz. Follow along. Find out if they were successful. You get to see a really meaningful documentary, and it is free on YouTube. You can find it if you search Finding Lauren, L-O-R-E-N. Highly recommended. I think you'll appreciate the history in it and appreciate the humanity and the family connections of Lieutenant Lauren Hintz's life, and also the impressiveness of a World War II P-47 Thunderbolt, and just what, now you know how EAA comes every year? I'm going to be looking for a P-47 Thunderbolt in case they are on display at EAA this year, because there's just these massive, massive planes that they were flying in the 1940s. So Finding Lauren, L-O-R-E-N, and you also got to meet the man who has designed and is now painting the big Bob Uecker mural, Mauricio Ramirez. And if you missed that conversation, it's fascinating. He's excited about this design. He's just getting ready to fill in Bob Uecker's face and give it that personality. And he is on one of those boom lifts that elevates up and down with a roller, painting this right there on the corner of Jackson and Mason on the side of the Wintrust building, 100 feet high. And how do you do that? How do you design this mural? Then how do you paint it? You can find out in the podcast. Actually, if you text the word mural to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, text mural, M-U-R-A-L, to 855-616-1620, keyword mural, and we'll get you that podcast, because I think you'll be fascinated about what it's like to paint outside, dodging the birds and the wind and the weather, but truly taking an honor in this, what's going to be a massive tribute to Bob Uecker that we can all take pictures in front of. And so that is Mauricio Ramirez creating the Bob Uecker mural, which you can check his progress. He is not taking the Memorial Day holiday off. He will continue to paint throughout the weekend, weather permitting. So text the word mural to Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620 to hear that full conversation. I think you'll enjoy it. So thanks again for joining me. I really do appreciate it. You can catch up on the podcast anytime. And I want to thank you for listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. And I just also want to do a shout out that I am really in my happy place when I am here. So thank you for joining me. And this is a job that my dad was in radio and television in his early part of his career, and he passed away on this day 11 years ago, which was a soul-crushing and dark day, but I know I'm making him proud. So if your dad is in your heart instead of on the earth like mine, do something to honor him. Hug your loved ones closer. If that's something to honor him, I get to eat a big bowl of butter pecan ice cream tonight. That's what I get to do. He would like that. But thanks again for joining me and letting me connect you to some cool things in our community. Have a good night. Brewers Weekly is next.